Thanks, guys. Awesome. I wonder if a couple of guys wouldn't mind grabbing the table over there just to get ready. Thanks, guys. While we do that, before I speak, of course, tomorrow is the two-year anniversary of the shooting at the mosque. I want to have just a minute's silence and then want to pray before I preach this morning. Father, 2 years ago, an atrocity was committed in this place, in this city. And Lord, 50 people for whom you died were shot down and slaughtered. Lord, they were currently involved in the grip of another faith, another religion. Yet, Lord, these are people for whom you died. Every day in our country, we see that number, if not more, that are cut down in abortion. People, again, for whom you died. The doctors, the nurses, all those. And Father, as we focus just for this short time on what happened 2 years ago on this soil, the soil of our city. Father, we bring the grieving families before you. We acknowledge those who are reaching out to them in churches around this area particularly. We acknowledge the administration of the funds that are still ongoing. So charities have been set up and trust funds have been set up. We pray wisdom for those that are administering it, because as 2 years rolls around, as we know that often things have still to be resolved as far as that goes. We thank you for the witness of the Jesus Club and for those at school who were still involved as they try and make sense of this senseless act. Father, we ask that you'd soften our hearts to those of other faiths that we see in our midst even here, who come at Beckenham, and those in our surrounding areas, and those that we see. Father, it was a horrendous thing to happen. May the absolute best come out of it in our hearts and minds as we go forward. And we commend again those involved, and we bring them into your keeping. Amen. Thanks, guys. Sorry, guys, so if you could bring that over there, so we get your catch off in mid-stroke. So, those of you who've been around for some time will have noticed, or just further over, lovely, not that I regularly pray with Duplo, though I do love doing that. And this morning we have here an illustration which I hope works. And the reason I say that is those of you been around for a while know that I have illustrations that normally work, but they sometimes get a little bit lost. So please bear with me this morning. It's been a while since I've put the Duplo together, but it's not that difficult. You found that it goes together pretty well. In fact, Jack did this one. Where's Jack? He's out at, and others have done it. This is a combined contribution. Different people have brought it along. So as the year started, I felt to speak on a series before we connect again with looking at Matthew, where we've left late last year. And I felt the Lord gave to me the word "so lad." In other words, well, child, what are you going to do? What are we going to do together here? And the letters have stood for various things. And the S was for supplication, O for offence, the offence of the gospel. And then L, last week we looked at little ones. And today I'm going to look at A, and I'm going to read a passage, and words will be up in the overhead. I encourage you to read it together if you've got your Bibles. And it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's a lot we could say about this passage and maybe returning for it, but what I want you to do as we read through it, see if you can find what the A is as we do that. Let's read together in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hit it up, perilous times. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of the sort of those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do those who resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to be in Iconium, at Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow. I grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God be being complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you it is always there for us, morning, evening, good times, bad times, it's there for us. We pray this morning as we look to it, as we turn to it, that you would speak your word afresh to us this morning. We thank you for it. Amen. So did anyone pick what the A was? Any clues out there? What was the A that I might be referring to in my list of letters as we read through that? Was there a verse particularly that had that word in it? All. Oh, very good. Okay, thank you. Which verse was that particularly?
The last verse.
Wonderful. Actually, second to last verse, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Perhaps we can put that up. Thanks, Andy. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, as I was thinking about this and felt to speak on the all Scripture or the all doctrine or even the authority of Scripture, the A there, I was thinking about last week, and we spoke about the little ones. We spoke about three things regarding the little ones, and we spoke about, understood and reading the verse that we spoke. In fact, can anyone remember the verse that we did last week about the little ones? Anybody want to have a go at that one? If anyone causes one of these little ones, oh, sorry, Nick, yes? That's right, yep. Anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone was put around his neck and be cast into the sea. And we looked at what it was to cause someone to stumble, who the little ones were, and we looked at the consequence, the casting, that would be better. And today, while I'd like to have three aspects to talk about, I really can't. There's actually four small points I want to make about the all-sufficiency of Scripture. We've had some discussions this week with colleagues regarding which bits of Scripture are more important, and I won't do this again. I did violence to a strange version of the Bible, which I'll call that a few months ago, illustrating that some of us, sadly, are reading some very small Bibles. Scripture has been cut down and passed. We're not too sure about the start, so Genesis sort of falls off the table. Revelation is all a bit scary, and different views we have on that, so we may drop that out. Some of the Old Testament prophets, we're not too sure about how that might sit and fit. And after a while, we're sort of left with maybe the bits that Jesus said. But then Jesus refers to those other bits, so it gets a bit confusing. And so we may find ourselves inadvertently not really holding to the all Scripture principle that we're seeing here. And this morning what I wanted to do was to illustrate these four points by using Duplo, which I've always wanted to look at a way I can play with Duplo while preaching. So this is a dream job, really. I get to play and I get to teach at the same time. Hopefully my illustration will work this morning. Because what I want to speak about is the understanding of how these four things come together. And the first word that we see here is the word in the first part here is given by inspiration and is profitable for four things: doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. The word doctrine there is a word that talks about building up and is similar to the word construction. We hear the word doctrine, we say, it sounds like a heavy word, a hard word, not sure I like that. But doctrine is really something that is the building blocks of faith and constructs what it is that we believe. So we see the word doctrine, don't maybe see it as a negative thing, as some may have been inclined to. See it as something that constructs or builds up faith. And what I've got here, very kindly, is that we've got here some bases for Duplo, which are the basis of construction. In other words, the basis of any construction is the foundation. The more sensitive of you who walk around here will notice that the building slopes a little bit to the walls. Seemingly that happens half a millimetre a year. I didn't know. We discovered when talking to the insurance companies that if a building is 50 years old, it will have sloped an inch or 25 mils at the foundations. The middles normally stay the same, just because of weight and settling. And this is pretty normal. If your building's gone down too much more than that, it's considered quake-related. It was a wee while ago at least. But it's really important that foundations are set first, that the instructions or the construction or the doctrine is laid down first. And often I find that people are building faith on something where their doctrine or their construction or their foundation, I use those words interchangeably today, hasn't been laid down. And of course, when it gets heavy, when the shakes come, when the quakes come, when the wind comes, there is no base to be built on here. So here we have a couple of, rather flexible bases. But we see the reason that it doesn't matter they're so flexible is they're on a firm foundation or they're on a firm bedrock below that. And of course, our doctrine is built on Jesus Christ. Our doctrine is the understanding of what it is that Jesus came to do. This is where it starts and everything builds from there. Jesus is mentioned in Genesis. Jesus is mentioned in Revelation. In fact, every book of the Bible, there's at least a reference, if not a mention of his name particularly. So important that we understand that. So with that foundation, that bedrock, as we start to understand building together, that's one of the first things that is all Scripture is built on. Or all Scripture, here we see in this basis here, is this understanding of this construction, building of the faith. What I've asked folk to do in church here is that different people have brought along their Duplo. We have a wall here. This is made by young Jack. And this is one of the walls that can be built here. And I'm going to put this one, because it's so colourful, I'm going to stick this at the front here. And we can see here, hopefully this illustration will work, back five from the corner. And we have another wall here that was provided by someone else. Now, even though this is a very different type of wall, which will actually make the back wall here, as we see if we fit this here together, it's exactly the same, if I get it at the right place, it's exactly the same height. And we'll also start coming together to make the basis of a house or something that's worthy of construction. We need to have something built on the foundation, otherwise all we have is our doctrine, what it is that we believe. It's pointless having a foundation unless something of value is built on it, something that can contain something, something where some business can be done, something of value or use is done inside of that. I spend a lot of time in pastors' meetings having conversations about the importance of right doctrine, and it's very important. But that's often as far as it goes. And my concern in the church today, I see this happen in many places. We, in many ways, as pastors, are paid to speak. We're paid to do a lot more than that, but, you know, speaking is an important thing, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing today. But in so many times, the temptation is to leave it as that, and that's as far as it goes. So we talk it up, we talk a good game, and not a lot happens week by week. And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe in your Christian life you see a similar thing happen. You have a great time when you talk to others, and maybe after when we have the shared lunch, that's your experience. When you meet in small groups, when you go to conferences, an awful lot of talking is done. But unless something is built on it, it remains something of only little value. It's important that's established. And we see it established in the Word of God. But we see all Scripture is given not just for building a foundation. It's given for those four things. So the second thing we see here after doctrine is reproof. Now, reproof sounds like a negative word once again. But what it is reproving again the basics. And that's what that word means. That if we're thinking, how do we prove our faith? How do we prove something to someone who is saying, I don't know that I believe it? We've seen testimony after testimony of those that have had engagement with those of faith. This all scripture that we're talking about, all of it is used. And over the years, I'm sure we've heard, many examples of where the oddest, it's probably a wrong phrase to use, sometimes the most obscure scripture, shall I say, is used to speak in a situation. All scripture is useful for reproving or reproof or proving again something that is real. And I've used the walls to illustrate this again because these are solid things that are built on. These are things that are built when someone says, why do you believe what you believe? We understand once again from scripture, that 2 Peter 3:15, that we're always ready to have a defence for the hope that's within us with all meekness and fear. That's an encouragement to us. So that we don't have to think on our feet when someone says, why do you believe that stuff? How is this real for you? It's something you've prepared beforehand. And you're ready then to give a defence in an ordered way in the situation. You may not be able to give an entire defence, of course, but at least to be able to say something and maybe get back to the person later. So I've used these walls to illustrate this reproof thing as it builds on the basis of the doctrine that we understand. The third thing I see here that if we just put the walls up here, I initially thought about bringing along a level. But the wonderful thing about Duplo is I don't actually need a level or something external, because the way it links together here, we know that everything is going to be straight and true and square. Nothing external needs to be brought in to measure scripture. Now, I don't know all of you. I would love to meet all of you. And some of you are visiting here for the first time, and it's wonderful to have you. But I'm pretty sure that if I said something that was off key, or I tried to build a house that looked like that, and it's just about to fall over, in your heart of hearts, even if you couldn't quite nail it, you'd say something's off here. What that guy's saying is not according to scripture. There's something doctrinally that's out. I find it's a bit like art. Most of us know good art when we see it, but unlike Jacob, aren't necessarily artists who are able to paint beautiful pictures. But we know when something's out. And I think that's the case for a lot of us. We know bad doctrine when we hear it. We know good doctrine when we hear it, I'm trusting. So when we look at this building here and we think, how could this be built this way? We don't actually need anything external. We just need scripture itself, which interprets scripture. And understanding this way that this builds, this is the correction aspect. So we've talked about doctrine being useful for construction, the basis built on the bedrock, for reproof, the building blocks that build up each wall, and correction as they come together. We see that there is clearly a straight and true. Now, if I lift it up here, we might not be able to see it, but we have here, clearly, I'll just grab a glass of water. We see clearly here we have a nice, straight, true building that can be built on in any particular way once that base is laid there. The last thing we see about Scripture, the all Scripture that I'm referring to here, is it's useful for instruction in righteousness. And as we build here, the top level, and look at the roof that comes on here, this instruction is what completes the picture. If we have, as it were, this understanding, I'm going to leave that front and centre, but we see here clearly we have a house completed because of the basis of those four aspects. The construction, the reproof, or the things that we prove, the correction, it's square, and scripture interprets scripture. And lastly, for instruction. Before the person then goes out and uses scripture to build, as it were, their own house and the area and things that God has called them to do. The wonderful thing I took from testimonies this morning, amongst a number of things, but one of the things I particularly took, and Michael alluded to this, was the specific giftings that each one of us has here. Whether or not you're involved here at Beckenham or not, there is a specific gifting, that you have. And I say you because I'm specifically referring to you, or we could say together corporately that I have, but it's very specific. that's not so much corporate. And you're thinking, what part could I have in this? Now, not all of you will be able to be as creative as I with the Duplo. You'd have to say that's a pretty awesome building, would you not? I'm waiting for some affirmation here. Mike, thank you. Thank you very much. So if you want to have a play afterwards, because I know sometimes with the illustrations, people say, I didn't get a chance to construct my own house. There's plenty of it over there. Go for it. And the reason I say that is that you might say, well, this is obviously really frustrating me. Just a quick aside, have you ever done the autistic scale, sorry, the Asperger scale online? Many of us may be slightly on the scale, and I don't say that lightly, but sometimes there are people that really struggle with patterns, and if patterns are not made, they will fixate on the fact. And if you find yourself doing that, this is not a very symmetrical thing that I've built here. And if you're struggling with that, then please feel free later on to come and build this better. And I say that because with the different giftings that we have, someone will look and say, this has to be done better. This is frustrating me. And someone else says, it's not really my thing. It would be wonderful if someone could build on this foundation. But unless it's true and square, whatever is built, we know that that's the way in which all Scripture leads us. So my encouragement is in the A of this basis for what we're doing this year, the understanding of not to weigh one bit of Scripture higher than the others. It's a huge temptation. With the red letter movement, other things that are happening, often it's considered that certain Scripture should be taken more importantly than others. And we had a discussion with a brother this week about that very thing, in which the affirmation was made from Genesis to Revelation. He holds it all equally, and it was a wonderful conversation. So my encouragement as we begin, well, we're well and truly into this year, but as we begin with the series and understanding the importance, to think about the basis of the bedrock of Jesus Christ, the construction or the doctrine that's built on that. How the reproof has, have you used the building blocks of faith to prove what it is that you know to others? Has there been the correction as it's come together? Because I didn't have to ask the people who brought their building blocks together, what sort of Duplo do you have? And even if you got, I believe, this fake Duplo now because the patent's run out after 25 years, it all has to interlock and work together. If it doesn't fit according to size, the house won't be built. So we don't have to, when someone comes along using Scripture, say, oh, what Scripture is that? Doesn't quite fit my house. If it doesn't fit your house, it may be that your house that's built has been wrong rather than their Scripture being wrong. Because it doesn't matter what we bring in terms of the Scriptures that we have, if it's based on Scripture and not on some other measure, it will come together. Is the wonderful thing about testimonies. And once again, I commend on Wednesday night, we see the same sort of things happen. Someone brings a word from the Word and it ties in and it links in together with what it is that God is calling us to do corporately. And finally, that instruction that follows the correction and completes the house. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that all of it is given for those four things. Construction, reproof, correction, and instruction. And we thank you for the basis of that and how it is that we may or may not have ever so slightly looked at this differently. We thank you for the encouragement this is and maybe the challenge it is to us. Help us to go away and consider the all Scripture aspect of 2 Timothy 3:16. Help us, Lord, to listen what you are saying to each one of us. Maybe we've always focused on the New Testament and we haven't delved too long enough in the Old. Maybe we've not considered the stories that are told in a larger scale as we've been focusing on a word-by-word or a verse-by-verse basis. Help us, Lord, to read as many books and many things we spend our time with. Help us to delve again at the relative start of this year into your Word and read in areas that we may not have read for some time. And Lord, I would ask that as we bravely step out and do that, that you speak to us, maybe in ways that we haven't heard for some time. You've been speaking all right, Lord. We may not have been listening. We humbly ask for your forgiveness for that. And we thank you for brothers and sisters that I believe, even as we share lunch today, will have a word for us from your Word that will encourage us as we go from here. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you for that verse that encourages in these four areas for all scripture. Amen.